think a little bit tonight about being a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? The lesson is entitled, Being a Christian is More. The name Christian is special, very special. It's only used three times in the Bible, all three of those, of course, in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, where the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, in Acts 26 and verse 28, where Agrippa says that Paul had almost persuaded him to become a Christian, and in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, where Peter says that if we suffer as a Christian, we shouldn't be ashamed. Those are the only three times in the whole New Testament and in the whole Bible that the name Christian is found. It was a name specially given by God. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2, Isaiah writes, And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. In Revelation 3:12 and in Revelation 2:17, Jesus promises a couple of the churches there in Revelation that they will receive that name if they will overcome. In chapter 3 and verse 12, he says, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. In chapter 2 and verse 17, he also says, To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, save he that receives it. Even back in Isaiah, there was a prophecy that there was going to be a new name. God's people weren't going to be called Israelites anymore. They weren't going to be the Jews. There was going to be some new name that would be given. And the Gentiles were also mentioned there. But there was going to be a new name. And we find that new name in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. For the first time mentioned, the disciples were called Christians. But you know, today in our world, the term Christian is thrown around far too lightly. There are children who are named Christian. There are bookstores and any number of other organizations that are called Christian. People of all sorts of different beliefs call themselves Christian. And because of the way that the term Christian is used in our society today, it has lost a lot of its significance. Everybody in our country, just about, it seems as though you are, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But that's not the way the word was used in the New Testament times. Not everyone got to claim that they were a Christian. Even in the church, we use it to describe people who are not Christians. Well, so-and-so is a Christian. I mean, well, they're not a member of the church, but they're a Christian person. It should be a very exclusive name. We should get back to calling Bible things by Bible names. We've gotten away from that a little bit. We allow the way things are used in the world to influence us far too often. Being a Christian is more. Being a Christian is more than believing. Some say, well, I believe there's a God. James said, big deal. The devils believe that. That's nothing to be excited about. Being a Christian is more than believing in Jesus. Oh, that's generally the standard that's used in our society today. If somebody believes that Jesus lived and and they think he was pretty special. They don't even have to necessarily believe that he was the Son of God. They may just say, well, he was a really good man with some really good teaching, and I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You're confused. Jesus either was the Son of God or he was something much worse. He was a liar or a lunatic or a really bad man who deceived people. But we have this idea that we can just kind of believe in, oh yeah, well, I believe in Jesus. There were some in the New Testament who believed in Jesus, but they were afraid that they would be cast out of the synagogue if they admitted that they believed in him. And so because of that, they would never admit. They would never confess. Well, what good did it do them to believe if they wouldn't admit that they believed? Well, on the other side of that today, because the idea of being a Christian is a little more popular in our society, there are a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus and say they're Christians because it's the popular thing to do. They're still looking for the praise of men, just like those people were. It's just that in order to receive the praise of men, they've shifted from refusing to acknowledge Jesus to acknowledging Jesus even when they don't believe it. They don't really believe it. Their actions testify to the fact that they don't really believe it. Being a Christian is more than believing in the Bible. There are people who say, oh, I believe in the Bible. I saw a bumper sticker on a car just this afternoon. Keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, they believe in the Bible. They don't understand the Bible, or they wouldn't be driving around with this bumper sticker telling people to keep the Ten Commandments. So it's more. Being a Christian is more than just believing a set of facts, even. Believing those things has to cause some sort of action to take place in your life. And if you really believe those things, it is going to cause some action in your life. Being a Christian is more than living a good moral life. Oh, certainly, there are things Christians shouldn't do. God has moral laws, and we're to abide by those. There are some things that He's told us that if we're going to be His children, if we're going to be Christians, we can't do those things and remain in His good favor. And there are things that Christians should do. There are good things to do that we should be out there doing. Good works of various kinds. But you know, an atheist could live a moral life. An atheist could say, well, I'm not going to kill anyone. Well, I'm not going to steal. Well, I'm not going to have sexual relations with anyone except for my husband or wife. An atheist could say that, and some do. Kevin and I know a fellow, we've done some work for him. He's a pretty good fellow. He doesn't believe in God. He's faithful to his wife, more faithful than some people who call themselves Christians. He provided for his children, provides for his wife. He doesn't go about causing trouble. He doesn't rob people or kill people or do any of those things. Only swears when he gets really mad. You know, like some Christian people. But he's an atheist. He doesn't even believe in God. No, just living a certain standard of morality is not what makes you a Christian. Certainly we do have to live up to that standard of morality, but that's not enough. It's more than that. Much, much more than that. Being a Christian is more than attending. You're here tonight, come together to worship, and we're glad to get together and to be able to be together, and it's always good to see each other. But attending the services with the other others in the church, that's not enough to make us a Christian. When I was a little fella, probably younger than Abby is now, we lived in a little small town, smaller probably than Lisbon, much smaller. And we lived in that little town, and we had a dog, and of course back then they didn't worry too much about keeping dogs fenced in or on chains or whatever, they just kind of ran around loose. But we had a dog, and when we would leave to go to church, we'd get up and we'd get in the car, he'd see us going. And he would cut across the yard, and he would get to the church building before we did. And he was there every time the doors were open. Attended more faithfully than some of the regular members. Well, that didn't make that dog a Christian. But it did say something about the sad state of the affairs of some of those who claim to be Christians. That a dog could be more faithful to the attendants than they were. Even here, we had a cat who's probably been in this building more than some who were members. That cat would sneak in every time somebody opened the door. That cat would sneak. We had to throw that cat out I don't know how many times. But we've got to realize that just attending doesn't make you a Christian. There are some people who attend, but they never participate. There are some who come and attend, but they never submit to obedience to the gospel. When we were in Holyoke, Colorado, there was a brother and sister. The sister was a member of the congregation. This brother and sister, they were both elderly. They lived together in the same house, shared a house. And he would faithfully bring her to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. He would bring her to church and he would come in and he would sit. But he never obeyed the gospel. For years, he had been bringing her to church and attending himself. But he wasn't a Christian. He had heard more lessons, heard more songs. I don't know. I was just a child at the time. I don't know whether he sang with the congregation or not. I don't know if he looked up the scriptures as the preacher preached or not. But he was there. But he never obeyed the gospel. And some of us, even that have obeyed the gospel, and even that do participate in worship, and we come and we attend, but deep down in our heart of hearts, we're not really Christians. We're doing it for one reason or another, but perhaps not for the right reason. We may be doing it to please someone else. We may be doing it to impress someone else. Those certainly would not be the right reasons. And so that brings us to number four. Being a Christian is more than pretending. It's more than wearing a disguise. You know, it always amazed me that Superman could just take off those glasses and he was Superman and he put those glasses back on and nobody knew who he was. And I thought, that's kind of ridiculous. And everybody was fooled. At least Spider-Man, you know, at least Batman, they had a costume that covered their face and stuff. He just had a pair of glasses and nobody knew who he was anymore. Well, some of us are that foolish with God. We think we can dress up in a nice suit of clothes and come to church. And He won't notice if we're rotten inside. That's ridiculous. God's not going to be fooled by disguises. He's not going to be fooled by us pretending to be holier than thou and to be righteous. He's not fooled by us pretending that everything's okay in our life when everything's falling apart. Saying something doesn't make it true. I can come and I can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and I can pray to God and thank Him for all the ways He's blessed me and say all sorts of wonderful flowery things in that prayer. And I can meet and greet others and say, "Oh, how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Isn't it great that we're Christians?" And the whole time, I could be a fake. And I could fool the people around me. But I'll never fool God. And sometimes we do that very thing. We go out during the week and live any kind of way we want to live. Say and do any kind of thing we want to say and do. Things that we know God doesn't approve of. And come on Sunday as though nothing happened. As though everything's all right. It doesn't work that way. Denying sin doesn't make it go away. I can ignore it. I can pretend it's not there. I can even flat out deny it and say, I'm not doing that. That doesn't change the fact that it's there, and it doesn't make the sin go away. There are so many that are pretending. We could go on and on. There's so many things that so much more involved in Christianity, but we want to come to the final thing. The fifth thing that we want to see is Christianity is more difficult, demanding, costly, and dangerous than any other life. Did you know that when you signed on? Did you think that? Do you believe that even now? You say, "No, it's not. It's not that. It's not like that." It is if we live it right. Oh, it's not difficult to be a pretender. It's not difficult to be an attender. But it's difficult to be the real thing. It's not easy to stand against the current. You ever been out at a creek or a river and gone out into it and waded out into that water and tried to keep your balance as that water rushed by you? Or have you ever gone out into the ocean where the waves were coming in and how they'd break and they'd knock you down? Currents can be strong and it can be very difficult to stand against those things. And sometimes, even when we think we're standing still, we look up and realize that we're drifting. We'll realize that we've lost ground. We think that we're being faithful to God. But if we go back and examine His Word, we'll find that we've compromised in some areas that we didn't realize we had. It's demanding. You know, going uphill is always more strenuous than walking on level ground or going downhill. When you're going uphill, that's hard work. It's demanding. You have to be strong in order to do that. And Christ promised us not an easy road, but He promised us trials and tribulations. He promised us toughness. He said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few to be that find it." Oh, if it was the easy way, everybody'd be going that way. Everybody could go the easy way, but it's difficult. In fact, some translations even translate that instead of straight and narrow, they translate it difficult and narrow. But it's a tough path. It's not easy. And that's why so many start and then give up. Because it wasn't all they thought it was going to be. They thought, well, if I become a Christian, my life will just magically get better and I won't have any more troubles. And that doesn't work that way. When we get away from Satan, he wants to get us back, and he fights hard to do that. But it's costly. You know, a free gift, anytime somebody's offering something free, you're like, what's the catch? It's a free gift. It's never free. Well, the same is true with the free gift of salvation that God offers us. Oh, it's free, but it's the most expensive free gift you can ever get. It'll cost you everything that you are and everything that you own. It'll cost you everything. Doesn't sound free, does it? Oh, it's free. Because everything you are and everything that you have is nothing compared to what God is offering. It's a simple equation. You have nothing to offer Him in return for eternal life. And He'll gladly accept it. All the nothing that you have. All the nothing that we are. He will accept it. The dangers abound. There are physical dangers, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual dangers. Constantly we're being attacked intellectually and emotionally. Satan is constantly attacking spiritually. And if we live the Christian life as those in the first century lived the Christian life, Jesus promised that all who live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But we're not suffering much persecution. I wonder why that is. God didn't lie. We know God can't lie. And if He says that if we will live godly lives in Christ Jesus, we will suffer persecution, and we're not suffering persecution, why do you suppose that is? There's really only one answer. We're not really living godly lives in Christ Jesus. We are not different enough from the world for them to really notice. And if that's the case, then we need to make some changes. We need to be doing something different than we are. And it doesn't have to do with our attendance. And it doesn't have to do with our morality necessarily, although there are some who certainly need to correct some things in their area of morality. But we have got to follow Jesus. That's what being a Christian really means. Not just believing in Jesus, but following Jesus. We're not following Jesus. Not like we should. Oh, we may be taking a few steps in that direction, but we're not really following Him. Jesus knew the Scriptures. He quoted those Scriptures. If we're following Jesus, we'd know the Scriptures like He did. Jesus hated sin. If we were following Jesus, we'd hate sin. Not want to see how much we can get away with or how close to it we can get without sinning. We'd hate it. Jesus despised hypocrisy. If we're following Jesus, we're going to despise hypocrisy too. Not practice it. Sometimes we spend more time practicing hypocrisy than we do trying to get away from hypocrisy. If we're following Jesus, things are going to change in our lives. In our men's class last week, we were talking about the fact that a lot of these things that need to change, it's got to start with the leadership. Change has to start there for it to really be effective change, for us to really make a difference. We've got to start making some changes. We've got to start taking some things more seriously than we have to this point. We've got to take sin seriously. We've got to take unfaithfulness seriously. We've got to take strife-causing and backstabbing and gossiping. We've got to take those things serious. More seriously than we have in the past. Being a Christian is more than something to do on Sunday. It's more than something we do. It's something that we either are or we aren't. It's interesting, we use the term Christianity. That's not in the Bible. You can't find Christianity anywhere. People say, I practice Christianity. Can't find that in the Bible. The Bible speaks of those who are Christians. And those who are Christians are disciples. That means they learn from and follow Jesus. You know, in the secular world, if something has a label on it that's false, they talk about truth in advertising and the claims that a particular product makes for what it is and what it can do. You know, and they have to have all the facts on there and the ingredients and all those kind of things. Well, if you were a product that was brought before the FDA and you had the name Christian, would you be able to pass the truth in advertising? We need to think about that. We've got to realize we can fool others, we can fool ourselves. We can look down our noses at those who were here this morning that didn't come back tonight and say, well, I'm a better Christian than they are because they're not here. Or we can look at someone who's involved in some sin and say, well, at least I don't do that. But that doesn't make us a Christian just because we do more or less of the thing, depending on whether it's good or bad, than somebody else. What makes us a Christian is when we are who God wants us to be. When we live our life day in and day out, minute by minute, under His authority, submitting to Him. Not just submitting to Him in the areas where we agree, but in all areas of our life. We've seen the illustration before, and there are different variations of it. But if you imagine a field, four fields, and a father tells his son, plant corn in this field, plant wheat in this field, plant beans in this field, and plant cotton in this one over here. And the son goes out and he plants the corn in the field where his father said plant corn. And he plants wheat in the field where the father said plant wheat. And he gets to the one where he says, plant the beans, and he plants the beans. But then he gets to the one that says cotton, and he says, I don't like cotton. I don't think it'll bring any good price this year, so I'm going to plant some rice instead. Did that son submit to the will of his father? Did he obey his father? And many times he'll say, well, he did 3 out of 4. No, he didn't. He planted in the one field what the Father said, not because the Father said it, because he wanted to. And in those 3 fields where he and the Father both thought alike, he planted what the Father said. But it wasn't because the Father said so. It wasn't because he was submitting to the Father's authority. It was because that's what he wanted to do. And we know that because when there was a difference of opinion, he did what he wanted to do. You see, we don't show Jesus how much we love him by obeying him in all of those areas where we think what he said was best. We show him that we love him by obeying him in those areas where we don't understand why that's the best way to do it. Those areas where we think there ought to be a better way to do it. But we obey him because we're submitting to him. When we obey God in the area where we don't want to, that's when we'll start to become Christian. When we follow Jesus, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus submitted himself to the Father's will at the time when he didn't want to. When his life was on the line and it wasn't going to be pleasant. That's when he submitted to the Father. That's when he showed his obedience. And he was made perfect in suffering. He wasn't made perfect in all the great miracles that he performed that got the people flocking after him. He was made perfect in the suffering when he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." But sometimes we're not ready to do that. We're not ready to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." We want to do my will. We say, "I'll do your will next time, God, but this time, no, this time I've got to do it myself. I've got to do it my own way." There was an old song out several years ago, "I Did It My Way." Not much sadder song, really, when it comes to eternity, than for many who will be standing on judgment day with nothing to say except, "I did it my way." Don't be one of those. Do it God's way. Even when we don't understand why, even when we don't know all of the consequences or all of the outcomes, do it God's way, because that's what it means to be a Christian. And we do it with a cheerful attitude, without murmuring or complaining, because God loves us and He wouldn't have asked us to do it if it wasn't the best thing for us. We may not understand it. We sing that song, "We'll understand it better by and by." We may not understand it now, but oh, if we will do it, then when we see heaven, we'll understand that it was worth it to give up anything in this life for that. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you would do so as we stand and as we sing.